involved. What I'm preaching today flows out of this very famous Sermon on the Mount, it's phrased, or Sermon on the Plain, from Jesus in Matthew 5. And it directly links to our vision as a church. If you're new, our vision as Wellspring Church is simple but deep: life with Jesus. And these words from Jesus, I think, describe what life with him is actually like. We have to start with what he's not saying. So realize that that statement is quite simple. It's describing life with Jesus and what it's like. Because these words can be misunderstood. They can be misunderstood to mean that Jesus is giving these conditions for people to enter his kingdom. Be this, and you will get this. That can't be right. We'll get to why in a moment. Also, people can say that these are simply afterlife realities, and the will-bes, for many of them in this passage, are all about heaven, and none of the blessing that he's speaking of here is accessible on earth. Well, I don't think that's right either. And the key is in that word blessed. That can't just mean happy or fortunate, since there's not much about being persecuted and poor or mournful that makes us happy or makes anyone fortunate. This is not a step-by-step guide as to how to achieve blessedness from Jesus. And you might notice there's no instruction here from him to do anything. These are descriptive statements, not exhortations. They're promises for how life with him is, what we can expect if we surrender to him, the King. I'll put it this way. To be blessed as Jesus' disciple is not a reward to earn, it's an atmosphere to live in. Not a reward to earn, but an atmosphere to live in. The reason I say that is our lives are full of paradox, and if you follow Christ, you know this already, because you can have a life full of mourning and grief and yet at the same time live in an atmosphere of comfort which feels surreal, a peace that passes understanding. With Jesus, life can throw you persecution, and yet you know intuitively the kingdom of heaven is yours, and that doesn't get shaken despite your persecution. With Jesus, you get chances to be a peacemaker in a world of hostility. Blessedness is an atmosphere to live in, not a reward to earn. And I think that's most obvious when we consider who is writing down these words. It's Matthew, the tax collector, who would have been among the original crowd listening to Jesus. Now, notice verse 1, Jesus sees the crowd, draws not the crowd to pay attention to his sermon, but his disciples, begins to teach them. So this is a little study for those already in the kingdom. And he says these words to, it would have included Matthew the ex-tax collector, the guy who it was dastardly to consider that he would actually come in and be a part of the kingdom of God, that he would be welcomed into the friendship circle of Jesus. Did he consider that act of grace to be something he earned, that act, that status of blessedness to be something he could earn? Of course not. He offered nothing to Jesus and got everything in return. Or think about that future inheritance thing. Did he think that it was just about heaven, the afterlife, that being comforted, that having his status as a peacemaker, that being shown mercy, was that just about what he's going to get in heaven? Surely not, because he had experienced the turnaround that Jesus made possible. He'd experienced this new community of Jesus's friends as the inbreaking kingdom of God pushing up against the kingdom of the world. I'm really helped by how scholar N.T. Wright puts it, and I'll put this quote on the screen. It's in two parts. I want you to get the gist of it. Wright says, blessing is not primarily about what God promises to do to someone. It is primarily about what God is going to do through someone. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, when God sets up his sovereign rule on earth as in heaven, it's the poor in spirit through whom he will do it. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. In other words, when God wants to sort out the world, he doesn't send in the tanks. He sends in the meek. And by the time the high and mighty realize what's happening, the meek have built hospitals, founded leper colonies, looked after orphans and widows, and founded schools, colleges, and universities to supply the world with wise leaders. And all of this matters because we're Jesus's people. We are Wellspring Church. We are the ones to whom Jesus is directing these words. We are marked by the kingdom of heaven. We embody it. Indeed, we enact it by this Matthew 5 lifestyle. And you can imagine, if we're doing enough of that, it's going to spread, which is exactly what Jesus wants. What did he teach his disciples to pray? Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'll put it this way. It is through the church living this life with Jesus on earth that life with Jesus spreads throughout the earth. It is through the church living this life with Jesus on earth that life with Jesus spreads throughout the earth. I've chosen this reading for AGM Sunday precisely because I see these signs of life over the past year and I long for more in the next. You'll remember for a good portion of these past 12 months, I was not with you. I was on a four-month sabbatical. And one of the very positive effects of that was stepping down enabled others to step up. And great stuff happened precisely because I wasn't here, not even though I wasn't here. And there's been, in that sense, great progress for the key priorities I laid out for us at last year's AGM. They'll appear on the screen to refresh your memory. Some of you are new, so you weren't part of this, but back in 2022, we had to make some difficult decisions about where we needed to occupy our time and attention. And as a result, we came up with these four key priorities that we wanted to see progress in the coming 12 months. And it's great to be able to report to you that each have seen progress. And this will give you a picture of the broader Wellspring family and what God is up to. A thriving generations priority. In other words, all ages growing, all stages growing. Got a real shot in the arm by transitioning from Jackson and Lucy doing wonderful things. It's so great that you're here tonight. To Anna Davey as a kids and youth worker. Both had a rock solid commitment to under 18s ministry, seeing them as the now church, not just the future church. And we have in Anna someone who's been received so well so quickly, and that ministry is growing in maturity and in number. But I think about Youth Band, currently on pause, but it's a great opportunity. If you've seen it, you know what I mean. At 10 a.m., we have these teenagers and children, not just doing something cute that the adults go, oh, that's nice, they're doing a song, but we actually say, you, kids and youth, are blessing us, filled with the Spirit, giving us a gift of edification for our good, not just entertainment. That's a sign of this progress in thriving generations ministry. Or mentoring of youth, going on quietly behind the scenes. Several young adults and others passionately supporting our young people as they wrestle through life, listening well, loving, patiently. You might not see it, but it's going on. On the other end of the spectrum, Queen Bariah's Nursing and Retirement Home. Several of our 8 a.m. members are unable to now attend on Sunday mornings. So they've started a little church service on a Sunday, on a Thursday. And my colleague Noel goes in with them. And that's not just servicing the people who used to be here. It's actually spreading to include other residents at this retirement home. So Thriving Generations Ministry is not just the younger people, it goes right through the whole ages and stages spectrum. Well, let's consider progress in the discipleship pathway priority. Another way to put that is trying to move people on in maturity in Christ. A new thing called English Practice Class was launched. A new, simple, but very intentional way of helping people practice English. Their first language is not English. But not just that, a chance to go deep in conversation and matters of faith as well. Or men's ministry that Sam pioneered earlier this year, for men to gather regularly and grow in Christ's likeness. Or our Introducing God courses, our Investigating Christianity courses, these are opportunities, as you well know, for people who don't yet believe in Jesus, to learn about him and put trust in him. Or I can think about our Encounter Nights, which some of you have been a part of, where we pause and be still with God, to listen, to wait on him, to pray, to sing, to be attentive. All signs of our investment in discipleship. Or our leadership empowerment priority, thirdly, seeing the equipping of the saints as being vital to our life together. We've got, over the last 12 months or so, no less than 5 women and men involved in, whether it's MTS apprenticeships or Wellspring internships, they've been and are going on this journey of discovering how God's made them, how they're wired. They're getting opportunities to test out gifts and seeing how can they serve God to the fullest. Or think about the ways that this congregation is blessing the wider Diocese of Tasmania by sharing preachers. These parishes where there's only one preacher, they need a rest from time to time. And here we go, young emerging leaders from Resonate, going from places as diverse as Tribunna down to Sorrel and over in Claremont, blessing our wider Anglican church. Or I consider the Parent Hope Project. We've just concluded a course trying to help parents continue to grow in being leaders in their home as they lead themselves before they think about the way that they honour their children and lead them. That's offered free of charge. That's some of your offertory going to make sure that those parents are discipled and led well and invested in. Or this final priority, local outreach. 12 months ago, we launched a playgroup that is going so well. It is remarkable. It's one of the highlights of my week on Thursday mornings. We need more leaders, by the way. Please talk to me afterwards. The opportunity to build a space of belonging and connection for young parents, to have adult-to-adult conversation, to have a place of safety for their kids to play, a relaxed atmosphere. And over time, people have started to open up. It's brilliant. It is good news for our community. Anna brought with her a connection to St. Michael's Collegiate, where she moved from her previous church. So working with the chaplains there to do stuff that will be of blessing in the midst of that school for the kingdom of God. And we can see lots and lots of potential further opportunities to deepen there. Or, and lots of you know this already, come along on a weeknight in this very building. It often doesn't look like this, and foyer doesn't look like that, because whether Subbies or Focus or Uni Fellowship, they're using this space. And by virtue of us being here and partnering with those organizations, ministry is facilitated. People are coming to Christ, international and Australian students all over the shop. And I said earlier, it is through the church living this life with Jesus, that life with Jesus spreads throughout the earth. That's what drives me to shape plans up for the next stage of achieving our priorities. And the major plans will center around an upcoming new Ministry Development Fund application. So the background to this, some of you won't know. In 2018, one of our residential properties that we own as Wellspring was sold to contribute to the Anglican Church's financial redress project for survivors of sexual abuse in Anglican settings. And part of the funds from that sale, we're put into a pool from which we can draw, as long as we submit an application that is for new ministry in uncharted territory. Total amount that we have at our disposal is about $100,000. I'm telling you this because Wellspring has a once-in-a-decade chance to do something really significant in sharing life with Jesus. And the consensus among our leadership team, staff, parish council, and for me, the local outreach is the key priority to push into, to really see some strides made. So I've got two new goals that I want to put before you for the years ahead. What about sharing life with Jesus in our local schools, firstly? We already have the existing connections. We've got the location. We've got people strategically placed, whether it's Hutchins or Collegiate or Sprinter Street Primary. We already have a strong belief in the discipleship of under 18s. We've got money to spend. There's so many great things that could be done here to spread the Jesus life amongst our local school communities. There's lots of ideas that it could look like lots of different things. And over these next 6 months, before we submit an application, we'll start to explore and chase down what are the best strategies to employ. So it could mean planting a new congregation to welcome those whom we're reaching. It could mean hiring specialist staff. So we have a full-time, we pay a full-time schools and outreach worker to do the bulk of this work and partner with the schools. It could mean Mustard Tasmania becomes a very close partner. They're already doing stuff in schools in the wider Tasmanian context. It could mean we do a food ministry for kids coming to school hungry who won't have also packed any lunch. It could mean partnering with Dan Waller, the kids' entertainer, who could come down and do missions at schools and then link those kids into local churches like us. You will have ideas as well, which will be so welcome over these months. That's our first exciting way of seeing this blessing of the kingdom of God Jesus describes spread to local schools. But that's not for everyone, and not everyone will have a part there. So, because I want to have as many Wellspring people involved as possible. One more idea to really help us lean into our local outreach priority is that of the Refugee Welcome Project. Let me give you some background. So Helen Condy, among other things, she's married to our bishop, but she's much more than that. She has been sensing this call to love the vulnerable and helpless people who move to our city completely new, completely terrified and traumatized. And she's acted on that calling by inviting churches around Hobart, like me and Kingston and Belrive, Claremont, to trial a program that would see refugees settled in Hobart for the first 12 months of their life. The way it works is a local team is formed, comprising interested people from different churches, and they would be trained and equipped and supported and then matched with the refugee family from overseas. And with Helen, this local team would be linked to a bigger organization that does this for a living, the Community Refugee Sponsorship Australia organization, who work with churches, but not exclusively with churches. Now, where the money comes in is in helping a new family secure their basic needs when they first arrive, accommodation, furniture, food, and so on. Now, be assured, this is also a thing that everyone can play a part in some way. It might not be that you have the time commitment to be a part of this local team, because there's training involved and it is a 12-month commitment. But I can see the wider Wellspring family stepping up, because we all have something to contribute, I think. An information evening is planned in early October. I'm going to share much more about that closer to the time. I've spoken to people who've done this sort of thing before. They say two things are for certain. One, it's very rewarding. And two, it's very challenging. It would be a sacrificial step for our church to make, but with such great fruit in the offing, I think. And personally, I need to tell you, as soon as I heard about this opportunity, my heart leapt. For years, I've been looking for a way to connect the Jesus life I believe in and share in, and our church's rock-solid belief in it, and sharing in it too, with people who have been overwhelmed by injustice as a rich sign of the life with Jesus, the blessing of the kingdom of God, being able to pour that out upon someone who has been so affected by oppression. And I think this is one such opportunity. The school's outreach project has got a few legs already on it, and we could see that happening. It's something that a broader group than just me has said, yeah, this would be great. This refugee project thing, this is something that I, as your pastor, am saying, let's go there. Let's boldly step out and see what God does. The need is very great. The numbers are very heartbreaking. At the end of 2022, there were 108 million displaced persons globally, which just boggles the mind, doesn't it? Since as a whole country, Australia is a fraction of that number. Or consider that the average wait time or delay for a family in a refugee camp waiting to exit to safe asylum is 17 years, which means a baby could be born there today in one of those camps and only come out as an adult. God's heart breaks at that. Throughout the scriptures, there's this consistent voice. He pleads, he urges with his people. Don't further the oppression of the oppressed. And not just don't do, but do be an advocate for them too. Repent and love them like you have been loved. And I think all of this stuff, particularly these two projects, ties directly to the vision in Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. Because in God's kingdom, it's not the rich, the proud, the selfish who spread the Jesus life. It's the humble, the poor, the merciful. In our schools outreach, now these are children who will grow up to be the leaders in our community. We have an opportunity to spread the kingdom of righteousness, purity, peace, rather than the very opposites that they are usually inculcated by. Gilbert Keith Chesterton, a brilliant British writer and theologian, writing in the early 20th century, he said this, and remember, his context was Catholic as well as the age where he only used men to refer to all people, so just forgive him that. He means men and women. This is the I'll just go back a bit, sorry. I don't deny that there should be priests to remind men that they will one day die. I only say that it is necessary to have another kind of priests called poets actually to remind men that they are not dead yet. So we have poetic work to do, church. Two, in the way of Jesus' description in Matthew 5, live a life of blessing here and now. The church can get used to just being there to remind the world, hey, you're going to die one day, get yourselves in order. That's a warning that we are certainly called to embody, but it's not the full story. As Chesterton points out, priests, and we can extrapolate that out to the church and God's people overall, don't have a role only to remind of sober realities, but we have a role to cast a vision of blessedness described by Jesus here, a vibrant, full life, a poetic, there is life worth living now kind of vision. And we get what we have in these two projects. We are anticipating a future. We are asking for God to reach into the future and bring it in more to the present. Because in God's anticipated future, there is a time when no student is bullied, no student is marginalized, no student is forgotten or hungry. So let's get involved in anticipating that future by doing something like schools outreach. And we long for a day, I think, I do, when refugee welcome is not necessary because all exclusion is over, all discrimination is over, all injustice is over. So we can be a part now of God's future blessing. We can reach into the future and by his Spirit express it in the present. So that's what I'm calling on our church to be a part of. It's a call to arms to together commit to life with Jesus for all. If you're with me, please say amen at the end of this prayer. God of all, we believe that you have loved the world so much that you sent your only Son to show us how to live, to please you and to love people. In his wholeness, he makes us whole. Thank you that he has promised blessing, that life with him, in an upside-down, topsy-turvy kind of way, will bring subversion to the powers and rulers of this world, will bring hope in the midst of hopelessness, will bring peace in a time of war, will bring forgiveness in an atmosphere of hostility. We surrender afresh to King Jesus tonight, and we long for his definition of blessedness to characterize the church globally, nationally, and locally. Please, God, make Wellspring Church synchronize with this atmosphere of blessing, living life with Jesus. This will be a countercultural message and position to take. But how we pray you would spread this life of Jesus through us, that people are compelled by our actions, stunned by our words, amazed by our love. As we look to the year ahead, we want to pray you would further these plans, that if it's not your will and you don't desire, let them fall to the ground and waste away. And yet we sense your hand in it, so let it prosper. Our local schools outreach, we surrender to you. Involvement in refugee welcome, we surrender to you. Thank you for the bold call you've laid upon us to live this life with Jesus and see it spread. And we anticipate great fruit because you've already been faithful and you'll continue to be. In Jesus' strong name, amen.